Today is September 21st, 1977. I'm talking with Mr. Ralph Cave at Park Headquarters. Now, you said you grew up down there in Dark Hollow?
I lived in Dark Hollow, and the work I did there until we moved out of the park.
Uh-huh. So you were born there?
I wasn't born there. I was born in Page County, but my mother was from Page County. My father was from Madison County, and just in a little while after I was born, they moved back to Dark Hollow. That's where my father was from.
I see. Uh-huh. Were you the oldest one in your family?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And your parents' names were?
Gurdon Cave.
Gurdon.
Father was Gurdon Cave?
That's right.
How was that spelled?
G-I-R-D-O-N.
Mm-hmm. And
A. Cave.
Mm-hmm. And what was your mother's name?
Dorothy Ann Thomas before she was married.
I see. And so then she moved up to Dark Hollow when she married Mr. Cave.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
All together, there was 13 of us.
Oh.
Several died. There was four died.
Uh-huh.
Younger. And now there's six of us living. Let's see, there's seven dead altogether. There's six of us living now.
Oh. Are the others living in this area?
Well, Jesse, my brother, he lives out here in Luray. And I got two sisters lives in Luray.
How many years were you in Dark Hollow about?
Well, 30. About 30 years. 32 years.
Oh my. So you raised a family there too.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's my father and mother there.
I see. And who are the children in that picture? Those are the smaller ones, I guess.
That's Ross and Jesse. And the little girl, I don't know her. And listen, that's Geneva. That's the youngest girl, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That must be her.
How about that? So they were the smallest children.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jesse the youngest?
No, Garland is the youngest.
Oh.
Now he lives in Shenandoah.
Hmm. Okay. Now tell me about the other people in Dark Hollow, your neighbors. Let's see this.
Well, you want me to tell you about these pictures?
Okay, well, why don't I go ahead and get a pencil and we'll write down the names on the back.
Now that's a little church that we had in Dark Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
The church and schoolhouse in Dark Hollow.
Oh, this is where the school was.
That's where the school was until Hoover come in there and built a schoolhouse about 2 miles from where we lived. And then all the younger children went to school at the Hoover schoolhouse.
I see.
But I went to school at that.
Mm-hmm. Did you have many teachers come in, or was
no,
it local?
No, we only just had one teacher there because it was only about 12 families lived around there.
Mm-hmm. And who was the teacher?
Well, they had several teachers. I couldn't. Miss Rosie Lower was the last teacher that we had there.
Mm-hmm.
Now she lives over around Brightwood right now, I think.
So did the teachers just come up to teach, or were they from Dark Hollow area?
No, they came in there to teach.
And was it mostly the Cave children that would go to school?
Well, the biggest part of them was Caves.
Mm-hmm. Did Breeden children go there?
Breedens went there, and the Caves, and there was one family of Broyleses, and one family of Woodwards.
Oh, were those the Woodwards from over near where the Hoover School was built? Did they walk way over there?
No.
Oh,
no.
Woodwards from down Dark Hollow?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And about how far did the children come? What was the furthest they walked?
Well, I'd say these last children walked about 4 miles from some of them from Dark Hollow to Hoover School.
Mm.
Now that was after the. See, after the Hoover School opened up, why they closed up Dark Hollow School.
I see.
And then these children walked over there.
I've heard them mention children from Dark Hollow going over there.
Uh-huh.
I guess they had the furthest to come.
Yeah.
Most most of the children live right around the school.
That's right.
That must have been hard to get to in the winter or something. They probably
stayed. It was sometimes you couldn't get there because they had to walk anyway.
Yeah.
They had no school bus.
Where was the road? Did you go through Big Meadows to get over there?
The road that went to Hoover School came right by our house. It was called the Old Turnpike, the Gordonsville Turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a road that the bark peelers and ones that made hued ties and so forth and so on made this road through there to haul their
the bark
material and bark and stuff out.
Uh-huh. Did that go over Stony Mountain there?
That went over Matter Mountain. Right there, that's my wife's sister and her brother, her husband, and that's
mm-hmm.
their small children are. He's dead. He's been dead quite a long time.
What was her name?
Stella. And his name was Douglas.
Mm-hmm. What was her name before she was married?
Breeden.
Stella Breeden. Was she from Tom Breeden's family?
Yeah.
She was one of his daughters?
Yeah, she was sister to my wife. We didn't have very many people to pick from.
That's
why we went out a long ways.
I see. Where did the Douglas and his family live?
They lived right there in the Dark Hollow area.
Mm-hmm. Near the church? Or?
Yeah, about half a mile from the church.
I see. That's great.
Now that was Walter Cave and his wife. They live over at Kriegersville now.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And were they from Dark Hollow too?
They were from Dark Hollow too.
What was his wife's name? Do you remember?
Gertie.
Okay.
Now that's my wife and boy. That boy, he's a foreman in Charlottesville in the Sperry Rand plant now.
Oh. Is that John, the little baby? He told me he left Dark Hollow when he was just a baby. And let me get your wife's name first.
Elsie.
She was Elsie Breeden Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And the first boy, oldest boy, what was his name?
Davis.
And the girl?
Gladys.
And John.
And Johnny.
How about that? And that's taken in Dark Hollow.
Yeah, but we have a couple more kids, but they was not born in Dark Hollow. They was born after we moved out of Dark Hollow. That's Jerry, and his real name is Carol, and the other one's named Maxine.
Oh, so you had five children, but three born up there in Dark Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Were they born right there at home?
Born right at home.
Mm-hmm.
We had a doctor for two of them. They had never had a doctor for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ross over at Kriegersville. Had to ride
came up from Kriegersville.
About 10 miles to get up there on horseback.
Oh my goodness. did you have to send word and say, must have taken him a while to get
well,
there.
We'd always just walk down there and tell him have to.
Oh.
Or ride a horseback. A lot of them had the horses in there, you know.
Uh-huh.
We'd ride a horse, or sometimes they had the, what they call a buckboard or a spring wagon or something like that.
Was that a pretty rough road, that Gordonsville
Turnpike? Well, it wasn't too bad. They kept it up. State kept it up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is my father's, my wife's father, and two of her sisters, and the little kids are, I don't know, that's some of their kids, I don't know which ones.
Do you know which girls these are? Is one of these Mamie, or?
No. Yes, it is. That is. That's Mamie. She lives over above Siri now, and this is Nettie, and she lives right out here and right up in Dry Run, right what they call Dry Run.
Up here in Morningstar, sort of?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's fine. What's her married name, Nettie?
Let's see, she married Lang.
Oh, we could probably get hold of her. Is she in pretty good health? I know Lang's
mm-hmm.
not in good health now.
Now that was my wife's father's home. That's where he lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been to that place, but There's nothing there now.
No, there's nothing there now. I've been there too lately.
Some root cellars, I think.
Uh-huh.
But he had all girls, is that right?
All girls.
What did he have, four girls?
Oh, he had 9 girls. And his wife died when she was about 35 years old, and he raised all the girls by himself, and he never did marry again. Of course, they all worked. He farmed and peeled bark, hewed ties, and just everything come along almost that he could do, and they helped.
And the girls all worked.
Yeah. Now that's me right there with that stick in that kettle, and that's Lester Weekly there that we was butchering.
Oh.
And that's where we was rendering out the lard.
where, let's see, Lester Weekly, was he from the area?
Yeah, he was from right over in the Hoover School area, but right just a little bit out of.
Was he related to the John Weekly family? Or?
He was John Weekly's son.
We were trying to figure out what John, because John Weekly died, I guess.
Yeah.
And there was just the mother and the son. We were trying to figure out the son's
name. Well, they had, he had two sons. One was Kern Weekly.
Oh, I've come across that name too. Uh-huh. This is so fascinating. You're fitting together all the pieces for me that I haven't been able to fit together. Let's see. Now that building says Dark Hollow on it, or Dark Holler.
Well, that building, I don't know. That's the only one that I don't know, but I...
Could it be Cliff Cave? Or something on his property? Or? But I don't know if you can see it, but right over here it says Dark Holler. In the same way it does on the church.
Uh-huh.
See, was this actually painted on the church? I guess it was. Dark Hollow,
yeah.
The words. Mm-hmm. And it looks just like that on that house.
That could have possibly been Cliff's house, but I couldn't identify it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably is. If it was in Dark Hollow, it must have been, because there's no other house that I wouldn't have known besides that.
Mm-hmm. Well, was Cliff related to you?
Well, we were distant cousins.
I see.
Maybe about third or fourth cousin.
Mm-hmm. But did he live up near Redgate there?
Mm-hmm. Right down from Redgate.
Uh-huh. So he'd be near that cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And that's your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give me the names of those small children again. Let's see.
Let me see. I don't know whether I know them or not. That's Ross. That's Ross and Jesse and Geneva. That's Ross. That's Jesse. And that's Geneva.
Okay. Well, this is fascinating. Do you have pictures like
no,
that?
No, I don't.
We have some of the negatives if you'd like copies of any.
All right, I wish you would. I wish
okay.
You'd says.
Did you want all of them? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to have one of all of them.
Okay, I think we can arrange that. I don't know if I have negatives of all of them, but whatever I have negatives of.
Well, all right.
Okay, gee, thank you for identifying those. Now, let's see, did everybody, tell me a little bit about the church services and how that worked. Was there one every Sunday? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had church every Sunday, and then we had prayer meeting every Thursday night.
Oh, so it was quite a religious mm-hmm. community then.
Yeah.
And was that... That was all. Did your father? You said he helped build that church.
Well, he built it. I mean, he built it with the help of all the other people. You know, everybody pitched in and helped to build it.
Uh huh. The shingles on it looked like the shingles on his house. That's
uh-huh. The shingles
done.
Was drawn shingles with the hand drawn shingles.
All handmade.
Mm-hmm.
Were those chestnuts?
Mhm.
Beautiful building. I sure wish they could have kept that building mm-hmm. there. And. Was he always the preacher, or how about this?
No, they had other preachers that came in from down from the conference sometimes. There was an old preacher by the name of Craddock, came there, and one by the name of Moser, and different ones from the Methodist Conference came in there and preached. Well, sometimes one a month, and sometimes two to a couple times a month.
So people actually came up from Stanley.
That's
and
right.
Forth
yeah, they, the church was always full.
Oh, isn't that something? They come up and attend church like when your father was preaching.
Yeah.
Now who was Tom Cave?
Tom Cave, he was a preacher too, but he just, he preached around, kind of an evangelist. He preached all around. Well, my daddy did too, but he didn't travel around as much as my daddy did. My daddy traveled all over the country. He was...
All over the country?
All over the, around close here, you know.
Uh-huh.
He'd go to Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, and I don't know, just before he died, a year before he died, he was in Washington on a revival there.
Isn't that something? Everybody seems to know of his name, so he must have been a wonderful person. Now, when did he die?
He died July the 10th, 1972.
Oh. I was wondering why he wasn't buried up there in that little cemetery. Was that just too far to get to?
Well, I'll tell you why. We have a cemetery at our church where we built now.
Oh,
now, he built another little church about like this one was down here after he came out of the park.
Oh, is that over in Shenandoah?
Uh-huh. And now since, before he died, he sold part of his land, about 4 acres of land there, and we've built a big church there now. We have about a $35,000 church built there now.
Isn't that wonderful? So he really just got everything started. Mm-hmm. And what would he, did he, even when he lived in Dark Hollow, come down like and get a group around him?
No, he'd go to different little churches around like that was built and different around. There was always a church, small church, in all these hollows up above Stanley and Elkton, Shenandoah, and Luray, and all around. He just traveled all around too.
Mostly Methodist or different?
Well, different denominations. Mm-hmm. I mean, back there then, nobody didn't pay much attention to a denomination like they do now.
Yeah.
A lot of people now, just if it's not their denomination, well, they don't go.
Oh, yeah.
But it was not like that then.
Yeah, well, it seems to make more sense the way they used to do it, I guess. And when was that church built? Do you know? Dark Hollow?
That church was built in about, let's see, I was... I expect that church was built in about 1920.
Mm-hmm. So it's only up, I guess they took it down about 1940 or so, maybe.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
They moved it or done something with it after we left the park. I don't know what they...
I saw a letter from your father to the park asking if he could take it down, and they wouldn't let him do it.
No.
I always wondered why
no.
they wouldn't.
I don't know why either. They have some funny ideas about it.
I guess so. And how did your father become a minister?
I don't know. He just took it up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he'd been preaching. I've heard him tell that he'd been preaching ever since he was about 19 years old.
Oh, is that so? How old was he when he was married?
Well, I think he was about 23.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was about 17.
Oh, pretty young. And let's see now, the school, was there school every day?
Well, they just had not all the whole year, but the season school, just like they have now.
I see. So did you go to school in the wintertime?
Huh?
Did
yeah.
you get there?
Yeah.
Uh huh. That must have been pretty rough. How many grades did you go to school there for?
I went to the first year of high school, but I went to school after I moved out of the park. About the eighth grade was the highest that the most of people went in there.
Well, that's more in some other areas in
America. That's right.
So pretty good school.
Mm-hmm.
And all ages would be there in the same
that's right.
room.
Mm-hmm.
And did the county help with that school?
Yeah, the county paid for the school.
I see. That was the only school in the area until Hoover School.
That's right.
Because I've come across that. Okay, tell me about, I read this story, were two of the children in your family, did they die in a bad winter or something?
They died two of them died with the diphtheria. they died, and one died like this morning, and in the morning, the other one died. And they was both buried in the same grave up at that little cemetery. But then one little boy died, and there was a snow about 4 foot there. Nobody didn't get out of the mountains for about, I don't know, it was 12 or 14 days. And Elsie's father made a casket for the child out of one of the seats that was in the church. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get out to get to an undertaker to get a casket in or anything. And he made this casket out of one of the seats that was in the church.
What was the name of that child? That was a small child?
Russell.
Uh-huh.
Was his name, yes.
Was this a baby?
No, it wasn't a baby, but he was several years old.
Mm. Was that diphtheria?
No. I don't know. I don't really know what the trouble was.
You could get out the door of the house, but just not...
That's right.
What, was that one of the worst snows?
That's one of the worst snows I ever saw.
You remember about when it was?
No, I don't. It was somewhere in I reckon around in the 20s, but uh-huh. I don't remember just when.
Yeah, so winters must have been a lot different back then than they are now.
Well, we had snow almost all the winter, every winter up there.
But children would still go out and go to school,
yeah,
and everybody
yeah.
Out and
there wouldn't
around.
Be too much like that snow was, but there were snow most of the winter would stay in the mountains there.
Was there a George Cave?
Yeah, that was my uncle. That was my father's brother.
Oh, I see, because Mamie Breeden Meadows, she had an article, an interview in the paper a while back, and she talked about his house got covered under with snow one time or something.
Mm-hmm. I think it blowed. There were several houses got covered up with snow. Mr. John Wigley's house got covered up with snow.
I've heard that also. Yeah.
Yeah, he's told me that he kept laying in the bed one morning, and laid and thought, "Well, what in the world is going on?" He said he heard an old rooster crowing. He thought, "Well, I better get up." And said he got up, and he said all the windows and everything, it was dark in the house. There wasn't nothing but snow all over the house.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Would that be that same winter?
Yeah, that was that same winter.
Mm. I just can't imagine anything like that now. I mean, they had pretty much snow up there
yeah.
Last winter, but nothing like that.
No.
Now, did you raise most of your food up there in the mountains? Or?
Well, mostly.
Mm-hmm. How was the farming, the gardening? Was that pretty rough? Or?
Well, some of the land was pretty rough. Some of it wasn't too rough. We usually had a horse that we plowed the ground and then hoed part of it with a, you know, hose, just like they hoe gardens now. Well, I mean, ain't many people hoe gardens now. They use some kind of machinery.
Right. What kind of things did you grow?
Well, we growed corn, potatoes, and just about everything that we used.
Mm-hmm. And did it grow pretty well?
Yeah.
And did you have to go to the store very often?
Not too often, about once a week.
Once a week. And which way did you go? Did you go Stanley or Krigley?
Come to Stanley.
Uh-huh. And did you sell some things down there too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they sold. We always had chickens, maybe 50 chickens. We'd sell eggs, and then we'd butcher 3 or 4 hogs in the fall. We had meat and then... Maybe sell 4 or 5 of the hams,
mm-hmm.
and buy flour.
Uh-huh.
But they always baked warm bread. Most people call it hoe cake bread now, but they would make it up and bake it in the stove.
Uh-huh.
And we never had to buy any bread or anything that through the winter, because we always got enough in the fall of the year to last us till the next spring. Oh, there was plenty of apples in there. We had all kind of different kind of apples. Some wild apples, some of the apples was taken care of, but we had plenty of apples, boiled apple butter, and
mm-hmm.
had
everybody
to make.
Get together for the
yeah.
making apple
mm-hmm.
butter?
Yeah.
Did you have any entertainment to get together?
Sometimes, yeah.
What kind of music was it?
Well, they had guitar, banjo,
uh-huh.
and violin,
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh. thing?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. What about did they dance?
Sometimes, yeah.
Like
they'd have
dancing?
Dances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that would just be like the people from Dark Hollow
uh-huh.
get together.
Well, some of the other people from outside too would come in for
oh,
that
really?
If they had it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would this be at somebody's home now?
Mostly at somebody's home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when else would you have a get together besides making apple butter?
Well, if the fall of the era, they'd have corn shuckings.
Oh.
They'd pull off the corn and then haul it in and throw it in the shed or something or other, and then everybody would get together and shuck corn.
Uh-huh. And then they'd have a party after that.
Yeah.
And what about butchering? Do many people get together then? Or?
Well, quite a few.
Mm-hmm. And did you just let your hogs go out in the woods until you raised
them? Well, most of the time, the hogs, while the chestnut crop was on, you didn't have to buy no feed for them because they got fat without feeding them.
Yeah, I guess they did.
But after the chestnuts give out, mostly we would raise enough corn and stuff to feed the hogs.
And did you keep them penned up then?
Then we'd pen them up, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always pen them up about a month or 2 months before we butchered them anyway, all
oh,
the time.
I see. Mm-hmm. And you'd butcher about 3 a year?
Well, sometimes more than 3. Some of them butchered as much as about 8.
Oh, my.
The ones that had big families.
Mm-hmm. And that would last you all through the
yeah.
winter? And did your vegetables last through the winter, too?
Well, we canned enough vegetables and dried enough. They used to dry beans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My wife loves them now, but I don't like them.
Oh.
I don't know whether you ever saw any of them or not, but they snap beans, string the beans now, and just put them up and let them dry and keep them. And cook them whenever they get ready
uh-huh.
through this uh-huh. winter.
So they didn't can many beans. They were mostly dried.
Mostly dried them then. Mm-hmm. They canned some, but not too many, not like they do now.
What about cabbage? Did you grow cabbage?
Growed cabbage, and what they would do with the cabbage, they would dig a trench in the ground and pull the cabbage up by the root and put it in the ground and bury it over with dirt, and they never would rot or anything whenever
That's
you got.
Winter.
Whenever you got ready to get your cabbage head, you just go out and get a hold of the root and pull it up.
Did you make sauerkraut?
Yeah, they make sauerkraut.
Hmm. So, it seemed like you get a lot of what you needed right up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people like living up there. That must have been a problem, though, when the chestnuts weren't around.
It was, yeah.
Had you sold chestnuts before?
Oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah. Now, a lot of people sold chestnuts, a lot of chestnuts, and it was a big slam on the people when the chestnut timber died out.
Yeah, so how did they get money then? Selling apples and stuff? Or?
Well, sometimes in the fall of the year, there would a bunch of the men go out and pick apples for these orchards, you know, and
mm-hmm.
go around different
like
things after the chestnut crop give out. And sometimes they'd go to bark peelings or where they cut timber, and a lot of them, there was some of the men, some of the younger fellas in there then, went on over in West Virginia and cut timber.
While they were still living in Dark Hollow?
Uh-huh.
They went over there?
Yeah, they'd go over there and work, and then they'd come back to about the weekend or something like that.
Now, what about the bark? Is this tan bark?
Mm-hmm.
And what tree was that from?
Well, that come from what they call hemlock now, and we called it spruce pine we really just called it what we had always heard it called, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and then oak, black oak, white oak, and Spanish oak, all that kind of bark was
all
good.
That was
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was just chestnut oak.
No, there was a whole lot of other
all
kind of bark.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. About 4 or 5 different kinds of bark was good for tan.
How'd they do that? I've seen big bark spurs. It looked like great.
Well, they'd cut around the tree, and they had some of these, they call it a spud then. I've got one of them at home now. And split this down a little piece and just get this around under it, and it would pull right on off. Then they cut the tree down and do the same thing all the way up. Then they cut the log up.
Did they use the logs too?
Yeah, they used the logs mostly. Sometimes if it was back in such a fur place that they couldn't get them out, couldn't get a horse or something in there, they didn't bother them, but they'd go in there with a little sled or something or other and haul the bark out.
Mm-hmm. there's a lot of old hemlocks along Hogback and Roseburg.
Yeah.
I guess they couldn't really get in there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There was no road close there then.
Right.
For the people, and there was very few people lived through there.
Uh-huh.
I know where all of the places are at, clear across the mountain.
There is one place, it looks like a home site, right up there on Rose River near the waterfall.
Well, there was. That there was the first man that I ever knowed that lived there. I saw him one time, and he was an old man when I saw him. It was Perry Sisk.
Oh.
Did you ever hear of him?
I think I've seen his name in some of these pictures.
Uh-huh. And he's the one that lived there. Of course, Roy Woodard lived there after that. The last one that ever lived there, that was Roy Woodard, one of the ones where married that my wife's sister.
Oh.
But she's, she's still living. They're living over around Madison, right? I don't know exactly where they live, but we was over there a couple times here last year, but they move around so much, they move to different places. He's not satisfied, see, at one place, and then he keeps moving around.
Mm-hmm. But you're pretty happy in Stanley.
Yeah, I'm all right where I'm at.
Now, was Mr. Woodard involved with the mine there?
Well, now, there was a mine there a long, long time ago, and then they opened up that mine again later, and I don't think they ever made much success out of it. They claimed that they wasn't enough ore in it to get it out of from where it's at, you see.
Yeah, that'd be hard to transport it.
Uh-huh.
Now, originally, or at least when the park bought that area, it was from a mining company in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So I guess they came in and mined it first and then left.
That's right.
And was it some local people?
Yeah, there was some other people then opened it up again.
Harry Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And did they live right in Dark Hollow?
They lived right down in next to where the mine was. Well, that was called Dark Hollow. The whole thing there was Dark Hollow.
I see. Now, did they work for the people in Chicago, or they just came in on their own and kind of opened up the mine again?
Now, I don't know about the last time, what they did, whether they worked for the people in Chicago, but I believe that they did.
Mm-hmm. And about when was it that they reopened that mine?
I don't know. It was early. I can just remember it.
And it shut up again before the park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't do too
no.
well with it. And did those people leave in the wintertime? Harry Hall, and I guess it was a big...
No, they stayed there.
Mm-hmm. There's a big piece of cement down there right now where that mine was, between, just before where Hogback goes into Rose River, and there's an area where there's all kinds of little pieces of rock coming down the side, I guess, from the shaft, and then there's a big cement slab just down the base there. It looked like they had a rock crusher on that or something.
Is that where the old mine, you mean down in where the old mine was?
Yeah.
There was a big air compressor set there that run all the drills. See, up again that bank, they filled them up. Mostly they're all filled up now. There's one up there against the hill about a quarter of a mile that you can see back in, well, maybe 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what that there cement was. It was a... where this here compressor was built, and that run all the drills that they drilled the holes in that for that mine.
I see. So they moved the machinery out, but that mound is still there. Well, that clears up some for me right there, because I used to take people by that, and they go, "What is this? I didn't know what it was." I was going to go up there and look for the mine shafts, but you know, I was afraid I might fall in, not knowing where they were or something. Let's see. Oh, I'm over by Mr. Gerd Kay's area there. Looked like there have been two houses over there.
It was. My grandfather lived right there, and our house was just a little bit right above his house.
What was your grandfather's name?
John I. Cave.
Mm-hmm. Was he born up there, or was he move in?
No, he was born there too.
So the caves go back a ways then?
Caves go back until my great-grandfather was Jimmy Cave, and his father was named Newman Cave. And that's as far as I know about them.
So that'd be back in the 1800s there.
Yeah.
Oh, I know they went back because up there in the cemetery is a Civil War grave.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my grandfather.
Oh. Uh-huh. Isn't that something? I mean, do you know where the caves originally came from?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. And now let's see. Now, where did you build your house?
Well, my house was right below the church, just on the opposite side, across the road.
Mm-hmm. I looked around down there because I thought there'd been a house down there, but I couldn't quite see. I saw kind of a flat place, but I didn't see much. Mm-hmm. Have you been back there at all?
No, I can go back there now, and the place just looks as different as day and night is what it did when then, you know, because there's a lot of cleared land in there then that's grown up now completely in woods. There wasn't no woods in there then. It was all a lot of cleared land there.
Yeah. Were there any cattle up in that area?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that be the people's cattle or cattle from the valley?
Well, most everybody had a cow of their own. But then, up around now where Big Meadows and all are, why the people that owned that land up there, they grazed through the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
They had cattle up there, and then they'd have somebody to take care of them, salt them, and keep the fence up, and everything like that, you know. If they'd get out, well, they had somebody to look after them, see that they all was there.
Mm-hmm. Now, who actually owned that land there in Darfur?
Well, that there was on that mining company's land. Everybody lived on that mining company's land.
And you didn't have to pay them any rent or anything. I guess they didn't take too much interest in the
area.
Mm-hmm. And now, I heard a story from a Mrs. Cowden, who was involved in the resettlement. She said she came up there one time, and I guess she came up in a car. Could cars get up on that road?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could get over in a car then.
Mm-hmm. And she said, I think she said Mr. Cave was there, and it might have been you and a small child that were both sick, and he had called three different doctors and hoping one would come up there. I don't know whether it was in bad weather or what, but he called a Madison doctor and an Elkton doctor and maybe a Stanley doctor, something like that.
No, I think that was Mr. Ashby Cave's people.
Oh.
That's who I think. That was a house right on up above where I told you that Perry Sisk lived in.
Uh-huh.
That was on up that river about a quarter of a mile above there. That's where that happened at. They had a girl, and she had, I think she had diphtheria, and they finally did get a doctor, Dr. Ross, from down at Kriegersville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. And now what road would they have used up there?
Well, there was a road that went from from the Red Gate, where what goes down to our collar, goes down to the, on down our, you know, turns off to your right, to your left, off to your left and goes on down there to the.
That's the hiking trail.
Well, it used to be a road. That's what they used for a road.
I see. So that kind of linked up the loop in Dark Hollow, the circle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going from Mr. Gerd Cave's place to the house that you built, would you go around Gordonsville or come across the other?
No, you just come right on up by Dark Hollow. You know where the Dark Hollow Bridge is.
Yes.
Well, I would just come right on up that road and come right on up and stay on the road.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was over at where Mr. Gerd Cave lived, where you grew up, I saw lots and lots of pieces of shoes, more than I've ever seen any other homestead. It must have been about parts of 18 pairs of shoes or something. You have any idea why that would be?
No, I don't.
Small shoes, large shoes? I was just wondering.
I don't know unless sometimes when my father was there, why, they would people send clothes in from different places in there to him to give out to the people. And if them shoes was there, I imagine that's what it was.
Oh, I see. Did even small children wear shoes when they were walking around there?
Mm-hmm.
So, now tell me about the houses. With some big houses or?
Well, there was some big houses in there, but the usual run of houses, we had about four rooms in our house and a kitchen.
This is the house you built or the house your
father? No, the house my father lived in. And our house had just three rooms.
Mm-hmm. You had a smaller family when you're up there. What kinds of things could children do up there? Did they have any toys to play with?
Oh, yeah, they got some toys.
What sort of things?
Well, something like little wagons or I wouldn't hardly know what they really did do,
uh-huh.
but they had something or other. They always was entertained, but they'd get together, several of them, several families live around close together, you know, and they'd all get together and maybe play ball and...
What kind of ball?
Gumball. Did you ever see anybody play gumball?
Never.
Well, we used to do that. Played gumball, and if you hit it real hard, it went for about half a mile.
Oh, what was it? What kind of ball was that? What was it made of?
I really don't know what they called it. I believe they called it town ball then. And that's before I ever heard of any baseball.
Did you hit it with a stick?
They hit it with a bat, yeah. With the same... And where we'd play up there just about where the Black Rock is now, down in that flat there, see? We had a place in there, then we had another place right there at Red Gate where you go up there. See, all that was cleared through there then, and before the road went through there, it was smooth through there. You could
go out and play ball. Was that just the children, or was it main Well,
big people and all would play sometimes, not really the old people, but the younger people.
How about that? That's very interesting. I never heard of anything like that. Did you get together with the Big Meadows people much? I guess it was a Frank Weekly, but he would have been an old man.
Well, I knew him.
Oh.
I can remember him.
Uh-huh. And then he had a son named June.
June.
Uh-huh. Now, were they related to the John Weeklys down by Hoover School?
Yeah, they were all some relation. I don't think they was a real close relation, but they was related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the same way with the Caves. The Caves was all related to... Now, old Mr. Frank Weekly and my grandfather was first cousins.
Oh, so everybody's pretty much related in there. One big family. What were some of the other families up there between where Frank Weekly and John Weekly lived?
Well, now, between there was nobody lived in there.
Oh.
Wise Hurt lived there one time down in right out from Mr. John Weekly. And then George Berker lived right down at the bottom of the hill there.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmett Weekly, that was old Mr. Frank Weekly's son. He lived right close to right there, too. And that was right close to where Hoover's school was built.
Emmett Weekly.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever go over Tanner's Ridge area?
Oh, yeah. I've been over Tanner's Ridge area 1,000 times.
I guess, wasn't Thomas living over there?
Yeah, there was a whole lot of Thomases. Mostly Thomases lived there.
Uh-huh. But didn't one of the Caves marry a Thomas?
My father married a Thomas.
Oh.
That was Dorothy Thomas.
Was she from Tanner's Ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about that? Now, tell me about when the park came in. Let's see. There's a lot of letters that your father wrote to Mr. Lassiter and to Mr. Hoskins. It seemed like he was having some trouble there. I wonder why he didn't get a homestead, or exactly what happened.
Well, you know, you mean when he moved out?
Yeah.
Well, he did.
Oh, he did get a homestead.
He got a homestead, but just after he moved out of the park, and they bought this homestead for him. Why, I had a brother, that Jesse, he was in the Army, and he had saved up some money, and he bought it off of the homestead people. I mean...
Oh, he bought it later on, and they bought the area.
Uh-huh.
Was this in Shenandoah then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, how did people feel about that, having to move out?
Well, there was a lot of people that really hurt. They didn't like it at all. But... I mean, the people made it all right there then, but I don't think they could make it in there now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like times are now, I don't think I couldn't go back there and live again.
Mm-hmm.
Not under the circumstances, you know, like they are now.
Right, right. I can understand that. Okay, now, what was it? Let's see. He was still living there when there was a park, kind of, wasn't he? When did he move out in 1938?
I believe he did, about 1938.
Mm-hmm. I guess they were building the road through there and everything. Were you up there when they were
yeah.
still down the Skyline
mm-hmm.
Drive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked on it. Worked on the Skyline Drive for a year.
Mm-hmm.
My father did too.
Oh, I didn't know
He worked some on it. Most all of the people that was up there worked on it.
I see. And were there people already coming up to visit while you're still living up there?
Well, after the park, they started on the park, you know, a lot of people came in there, took pictures and different things.
Oh, went around to pictures of people's houses,
yeah,
and things like,
yeah,
that? Now, was there something where some of the children would sell flowers or something to,
yeah,
people?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? Paper flowers?
Paper flowers where they made. Their mothers would make them for them, and they'd take them up there on the, where they had the parking places on Sundays, or sometimes on after church or something like that, they'd go up there and sell these flowers.
Mm-hmm. But the superintendent didn't like that, did he?
No, I guess not. He did, they didn't say nothing about it for a while, for a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been with Mr. Hoskins when he went up there one time, and there was a girl from down in what they call Nichols Holler, up there on a parking place, and he told her that she'd have to get off of there, that he wouldn't allow no flowers sold up there anymore. And she walked off the road, and she said, she said, "You ain't nothing but a big bluff, no house." Said, "Pap said you weren't."
Oh, my goodness.
And he just laughed about it, you know. He just busted laughing about it.
He was a pretty good nature.
Yeah, I knew him well. I've been out with him on some parties and different things. Him and there was an old fella up there when they worked put this water line in at Big Meadows by the name of, they call him Colonel Smith. I don't really know what his first name was.
Uh-huh.
But he would kind of get excited, you know. He was an Army man, but he had retired.
And he was working there, wasn't he?
And he was just a boss. Mm-hmm. He was a boss, sorry, you know. And he'd get excited over everything. Anything, little thing happened, why, he'd get all excited about it. And one time we went down in White Oak Canyon, and I played music. I played the guitar. I've been playing guitar ever since I was just about grown. My aunt, Irene Thomas, taught me how to chord a guitar, and I started playing, and I played around different places a whole lot. I've been to Washington, played several times, and been to Baltimore, and we've got a radio broadcast out here at 3:30, singing and some talking at 3:30 on Sunday evening now. We've had it for about 8 years, me and my son.
Uh-huh. And what kind of was this mountain music you played up in the mountains too?
Well, we played mountain music and played most everything then. But we only have a religious program now.
Mm-hmm. Were you telling me something about Mr. Smith then?
Yeah. I don't know whatever happened to him. He left up there before I quit working up there. And I don't know, I never did hear of him anymore. But what I went to tell you about, we was having a party up there one night at the out at the parking place out there at the picnic ground, back out the neck from after you leave the drive up here, after you leave the panorama and go out there. What's the next one called?
The Pinnacles.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we was all supposed to meet there that night, me and another fellow that was working up there, and we was supposed to play a trick on him, you know. I was supposed to go in there with a gun and make out I was arresting him for non-support. Mr. Hoskins and them was there, and some of them recognized me. We was disguised, you know, but they recognized me, and I had to laugh, and they had a big time about me laughing, and said, sure, we wouldn't have known it if the sheriff hadn't laughed.
Well, that must have been something. Now, did you have a car back then?
No. About the last of the, after they built the Skyline Drive, I had a car.
Mm-hmm. So you were up there until the last of people moved,
mm-hmm,
down?
Well, no, I moved to Shenandoah, and I've been in the junk business at Shenandoah for about 30 years. And after my last son, I had three sons in the Army, and after my last son come out of the Army, why, I let him take the business over up there. I had a pretty good business, junk business up there, and we also run a little country store there, too. There was a lot of people around there, you know, But after we got in the junk as big as we did, why, we just had to let the store business go. And that's what he's into now. After he was in the Army, and he come from Vietnam, and when he come back, he just started helping me. And then I mostly give the business over to him, and then I just go out now and buy stuff like I bought out here and around different places, and have it hauled.
And so did they get you a house down there too, or you got your own?
No,
house?
I got my own house.
You got your own place.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't feel too badly
toward
him when you
moved
out?
No, I didn't feel too bad.
I guess it was harder on some of the older people.
It was. That's where it was. The older people was. They left some of the older people right around the edge of the park.
Yeah.
They left them live there until the older people died out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother lived in the park, and she lived right along the edge of the park up on Tanner's Ridge.
Oh.
And she lived there until she died.
I think I've seen a house. Was it a William Thomas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was your grandmother.
Yeah.
What was your grandmother's name?
They called her Jenny, but I don't think that was her right name, but that's all I ever heard her called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that house, and I was wondering who those people were. That house must have been near where that funny gravestone is to talk about a murder. Something, you know about that?
Yeah, that is. It's just right down below there.
You know the story?
Gray, all is gray. I know of it. I can just barely remember it. That's all. I've heard them talk a lot about it, but I never did. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. Well, I have saw some of the boys that they said killed him. I remember seeing one or two of them. But the man where the gray man, I never did remember him. But I wasn't nothing but a kid, because they carried this gray man down to my grandfather's that night and laid him on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Until they could get somebody up there to get him. But he was dead already then.
Mm-hmm. Things like that didn't happen very often, did they?
Not very often. This happened, I think they kind of had a grudge against one another, somewhere or another, over some girls.
Oh.
I think that's what... That's what I've heard.
So, mm-hmm. So people up there generally in the mountains were pretty friendly and got along pretty well.
Yeah, they never had very little trouble.
What about moonshine? Was there much going on up there? We hear a lot about it further.
Well, I'll tell you, in the Dark Holler and around there, we never did have no moonshine in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was one old man lived back on top of the mountain over there by the name of Broyles, Jim Broyles. He used to make a little, but... he didn't make none to amount to anything. Now Shenandoah, where I've been, up in what they call Steam Holler, they made their living on just about like that for the last only until things got pretty good, you know. And then they quit. I don't think there's nobody in there at all now who makes any.
Mm-hmm. But the reason that they didn't make it in Dark Hollow, I guess, is because it was like a religious area with Mr.
That's right.
That's why I kind of figured they probably didn't do much, because reading about other areas, I know was a big thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tell me about this Click Cave. Whatever happened to him? Where did he move to?
Well, he moved down to some of these longs over here. Isaac Long, I believe he lived on it, moved on his place. And then...
He owned land up in Big Meadows, I think, Isaac Long. Was he a cattleman or something?
I mean, he's not up there now, is he?
No, but he did it once.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he lived, I think the welfare, he got on the welfare, he got disabled to work, and he got on the welfare. The welfare bought him a place, and then he lived there till he died.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife died here just a little while, I think last year.
I was wondering because they had that grave up there and it didn't show her death date on it. It had Click, I guess, died some time ago.
Uh-huh, he did.
But I was wondering if they were going to bury her up there because...
Well, they did bury her up there. They did bury her up there, but they haven't
put a date on
it. I don't know, maybe she's not been dead a year yet. Maybe 6 months ago, something like that. I know she's dead, but it hadn't been very long.
Uh-huh, and where was she living?
She was living out right around Ida.
Oh.
You know where Ida is?
Yes.
Well, right down that Ida stretch there, going towards to the highway over to the where you go to Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
She lived right down there where there's some tailors live along there now. And she lived right up, there was a little lane went up there about 100 yards, and she lived right up that lane.
Well, she must have been very old.
Oh, she was. She was about 88 or 90, right around 90, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Did they have a son-in-law that was, the park rangers were having trouble with or something?
Yeah.
Burton?
He's still out here in Lou right now. He moved away for a long time, and he wasn't originally from here. He come in here with the CC pick. People.
Oh,
when he wasn't from Dark Holler. I don't know really where he come from. He come from over on the other side of Charlottesville somewheres, and he married a girl up there. He married Click's girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lived together for I don't know how long, how many years, and they separated.
Oh.
So he goes back over to Charlottesville and married again. They got a divorce, I think. And now he's divorced a woman over in Charlottesville and come over here and married another woman, and he still lives right out here this side of Luray. I just saw him the other day.
Yeah, I came across some letter when he was giving the park rangers a hard time.
Yeah, he did.
He must have been a character. So, let's see, was there anybody else living in there now? The way I see it, be coming in from Fisher's Gap, be Click Cave, and then Tom Breeden. And then you and Tom Cave, I guess, was over by the church somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then going around down to where George Cave and Gerd Cave lived. Those are the places I think.
Uh-huh. Well, there was another house up there, Tommy Cave, and old man Newman Cave lived in that place right there at that high point before you get to the cemetery, you know, there.
Right up at the beginning.
Uh-huh. He lived there. And then
the drive is now.
Huh?
Almost where the drive is now?
Well, just a little below the drive.
Uh-huh.
He lived there, and but he's dead, and all the boys are dead, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was John, Tommy, and Marvin, and their daddy was named Newman.
And that was a different group of caves?
No. It was the whole...
All related. That's real interesting. And everybody was gone by 1938 then?
I expect it was gone from by 1938, because about 1940, I believe, during the war, I went to Baltimore and went to work in the shipyard, and I had done moved out of there then. I went to the shipyard and worked there about 4 years.
Oh. Uh-huh. Now, was living up there pretty healthy, or did people get sick? Right off. We mentioned getting sick during that winter.
They nobody got sick, not half as much up there now, it don't seem like as it do down here, of course.
Exactly.
There wasn't as many people, but not many people. There wasn't many people went to the doctor like they do now, you know, just you get a bad cold or you get a kind of a flu or something over, and nobody's thought nothing much about it. They would get their own, a lot of them make their own medicine.
That's
some of the older people, they would go out in the woods and they'd dig some kind of roots and different things and boil them and make medicine and use their own self, yeah.
It worked. What kinds of things do they use? Do you have any idea?
Indeed, I don't know. I don't know what they used.
I imagine some people are still doing those.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, tell me again some of these people that are still alive from that area.
Well, my mother's living.
Is she? Is she over in Shenandoah?
She's over in Shenandoah. And Walter Cave and his wife, they're living.
And where are they?
They're over at Kriegersville.
I was just going to look up some of the people in the telephone book.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of more people we could interview. So
uh-huh.
Be people that might be interested. Is your mother must be
well, it wouldn't be any use to talk to her because her mind's bad. She might talk to you a few minutes and tell you one thing, and the next few minutes she'd tell you something else.
Yeah, it'd be hard
she
to
couldn't
remember.
Give you no information.
I didn't know she was still alive. said you had two sisters?
Yeah, my sister's out here in Luray. I don't know exactly where they live. They moved around two or three times. And Jesse, he's been sick now. Jesse's been, of course, Jesse worked for the park, worked up there for the,
at
Big Meadows Lodge.
Yeah.
He's been up there for about 20 years, I reckon.
Yeah, I called him, but he's been in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What was your sister's name in the race?
Geneva.
Hmm. And she married a...
She married a Turner, but he's dead.
But that's who, would she be under that in telephone book, or?
Indeed, I couldn't tell you,
mm-hmm.
now, whether she would or whether she wouldn't.
Okay.
Probably she would, though.
Mm-hmm. Somebody told me about an EAK. Do you have any idea who that would be?
EA, that's Elsie. He lives up in what they call Kite Holler. You know where Kite Holler is?
That's below Redgate, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Was he from Dark Hollow?
Yeah.
Where did he live?
He lived over, right over from Redgate, right back to the, kind of to the right,
mm-hmm.
Of Redgate, right up in there where all those big, I guess those pine trees are still there. There's a big bunch of pine trees. There he lived right on the other side of those pine trees.
Mm, I see. What was the story of that Redgate? I read one article your father wrote in the newspaper where he said they couldn't get down the road anymore when they put the gate in or something?
Well, they put the gate across there, see, and they put a log across it.
And this was?
And,
the same place it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get to Stanley then?
Well, they didn't put the gate across there while we lived in there.
I see.
They put it across there. The reason he wrote that was on account of that cemetery down there, see.
Oh.
And if you go up out of the cemetery now, well, you've got to go to the ranger or go somewhere and get
right.
a key before you can go up there. That's the reason it's in the shape it's in
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Tanner's Ridge is the same way, but they had people on Tanner's Ridge that worked in the park, and they had keys to the gates up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they could get up there about any time they wanted to, see.
Yeah.
But none of us had a key to the gate down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to them and tried to get a key a couple times. Several of the rangers has let me down there when I wanted to go down there and take the key back to them, but they never would let me have a key permanently. So when anybody got ready to go, they would have to come out here and get a key if
yeah.
they'd let them have one.
That's right. That must be difficult. Is there many people buried in that cave cemetery there?
There's right many people in there, but you can't hardly tell where they're buried now. I don't know whether you've been there lately or not, but
I could see, you know, a couple of stones. There was one for Civil.
Well, a lot of people was buried in there a long time ago that just had a rock or something for a stone.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't know where they was buried at now. I don't even know where my own people's buried at.
Mm-hmm. There's one that looked like Duellis. It was handwritten. D-U-E-L-L-A-S, something like that. I couldn't quite make it out, but it was handwritten there on a rock. And then, of course, was Quick Cave, and there was another, I guess it looked like, was it Elsie? I can't remember there was another couple that looked like a modern stone, you know, been put in there not so long ago, maybe in the 50s. I don't think I've got it written down here. Did they pay you for the land there and your homes and everything?
Well, they give us
much of a deal on that?
They give us a little something, not too much. They give. I think I got about $200 out of what I had there when I left.
Mm-hmm. That didn't last too long, I don't guess. Anything else in particular that you can think of about life up there that stands out in your mind, or?
Well, I don't know much other than why when I lived there and was younger and didn't have anything else to do, I hunted and fished and trapped a lot.
What kind of things did you trap?
Well, most anything: foxes, coons, and skunks.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fool with skunks. We buy fur now, but
you trap skunks.
We used to trap skunks, but don't trap.
How do you trap a skunk?
Well, you just find a den. They always have a den in the ground, and we take a trap and just dig a hole up there and put it in front of that.
and then get a car out of the way.
Yeah.
And could you sell the furs from the
animal
farm?
Yeah.
Sell them out to family?
Well, sometimes we would, and sometimes we'd, I would ship it to New York.
Oh, that's interesting. How about the fishing? Was it good there in Hog Camp?
Oh, that was a lot of fish in there then. There was no restriction much on fish then, like they are now, and there was a whole lot more fish than they are now.
Mostly brook trout?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've put brook trout in there a lot of times before the park ever bothered about anything. Me and June Weekly and different ones has ordered a barrel of trout, of little trout, you know, about small trout.
Uh-huh.
From people that would, some people would come in there and visit, you know, and then they would send them from these hatcheries in there. We'd meet them at Stanley with a wagon or something and haul them up there and distribute them out all along the creek, take as close as we could get to the creek with them, you know,
uh-huh.
buckets and all, and get a bunch of people to help carry them and put them in the creek.
So you stocked
your
own stream? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? I hadn't heard
now, I don't think they stock any trout in the park anymore now.
No, not anymore. They used to, you know,
yeah.
in the early days
mm-hmm.
of the park, but they haven't done it in a long time.
I used to go up there about a couple times a summer, but when they got it down to where you can't catch, but I believe it's 5, and then they got to be 8 inches long, so it's not worth going up there for.
It's not up there that big anymore.
No, I doubt it.
I still see the little ones, but I never see a big one. People go.
Well, I'll tell you what goes with the trout when the water gets like it's been now, as low as it is. These coons, raccoons, they catch them, that's what they live off of.
Uh-huh.
And they can't hardly get away from them. When water gets low like it is now, well, they just about clean them up. They just about get all off.
Yeah. And there aren't that many raccoons up there anymore either. I don't see them. Maybe that's because they can't get as much fish.
Uh-huh.
But it's been terrible up there this year. People go over to the waterfall and they say, where's the falls?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you pay much attention to those waterfalls when you were living up there? People go up there for picnics?
Oh, yeah. They people went up there, but there was no trail up there then, you know.
Yeah.
You just had to go up through the woods. I took a bunch of girls up there one time, and they was about to fight me before they got out of there. They got in this weed they call nettleweed. Have you ever got in it?
Yeah, sure have.
They give me a fit before they got out of there over this weed, but getting them in this nettleweed. And there was no other way to go but to go through there.
Yeah, I've been through it. It's all over the town breeding place. Now.
Yeah.
I was looking for stuff with my hand down in the woods. Stuff are really bothering me. So young people mostly would go up to the waterfall.
That's right.
That was kind of a place
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, there was a lot of people would come in there. They would come from down Madison. They'd come from different places.
Oh, even then?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, you know, old man, how do you know all about old man George Pollock's for having the place up Skyland?
Right.
Well, I used to go out there. I played music for him out there a lot
did
of
you?
Times. He'd have dances out there, and he would have a bullhorn or some kind of a horn, and he would holler and yodel, and he wore leggings. He wore the old leather leggings, you know, most
uh-huh.
all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he would go out on a big picnic and take a lot of people with him, many as wanted to go with him.
Uh-huh.
He'd come over there to Dark Holler and he'd come
he'd
out.
Bring his guests over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah.
You all play music for him and
yeah,
entertain him?
Yeah.
I would go
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, before they made the Skyland Drive, they had a road that you could get out to Skyland.
Oh, was it like where the drive is now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And about how often would you go out there?
Well, sometimes I'd go out there a couple times a week.
How'd you get there? Did you take a horse?
No, did somebody come out there and get us? There was road enough there, cars, these guests or somebody that come up there, you know, he would want somebody out there to play for him, and
mm-hmm.
he'd send somebody out there after me.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a group, or did you play by yourself?
We played with a group sometimes, and sometimes I played by myself. If they would, if I couldn't get a hold of the group, well, I'd just go by myself.
And this was guitars?
Mm-hmm.
And what music did you play up at Skyland? What kind of music?
Well, that's about all I played when I went up there. Of course, if the whole bunch went up there. We had banjo and guitar and violin.
Was this like square dancing music?
Well, I don't know what kind of dancing you'd call it. They danced 3 or 4 different kind of dances up there.
Was this is all the music you learned from your aunt or from different people
yeah.
coming in?
Yeah, well, I've learned a whole lot of music. I've taken some lessons and all since that.
Since then. Uh-huh.
And learned a lot more about it than what I knew then.
But you got started right there
in
the mountain.
Yeah.
Where'd your aunt learn to play?
I don't know. See, they come from the Lamb people, and the Lambs was musicians, a lot of them. And I guess that's where she picked
that.
It up from.
Mm-hmm. Did you use regular sheet music when you were up there, or just stuff that you picked up?
Just stuff that we picked up.
Mm-hmm. And I bet that was some of the best kind of music.
I used to go to Richmond, the old, I don't know whether you ever heard of the old Virginia Barn Dance or not, but they used to have a theater down there. It was an old Virginia Barn Dance, and I don't know how, I used to go down there just on Saturday nights, and Charlottesville, they had one over at Charlottesville. I'd go over to Charlottesville, and I've been to Washington, I don't know how many times, and I used to go out on these cruisers when they had, they'd have a big crowd, and I got in with some people down there that knew me, you know, and got this Happy Johnny over here that he still announces, I think, for Frederick Maryland, and I got acquainted with him, and we'd go out on these boats of a night, and moonlight cruisers, they call them, you know, and so forth and so on.
And where was this?
That was in the 40s.
In the 40s?
Uh-huh.
A musician, it sounds like. Tell me about Mr. Pollock. Did you get to know him personally?
Oh yeah, I knew him. He was a good man, nice man. He was just a funny man, you know. He was out for a good time, big time, all the ways. He kept horses up out of ride, and he had all these little cabins. I reckon all the little cabins. I don't know whether they are still out there.
Mm-hmm. The Massanutten, the one he lived in, that his wife built, was still up there. Did you ever see him with his rattlesnakes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to pick up rattlesnakes and get in a pen with them, have pens around there, and had four, five, or six rattlesnakes in there. He'd pick them up. He had some peculiar way that he would get around when a rattlesnake wasn't looking or anything and grab it by the neck or somewhere that he couldn't bite him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he must have been quite something.
He was.
And what about, you were up there when President Hoover was staying at that camp. Did you ever run into him or talk to people that had?
I've been up there to the camp when he was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On what occasion did you go to the camp?
Well, I knew a lot of the Marines that was over in there.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I worked over there.
Did you?
Yeah, I worked there, well, practically all the time that he was in there.
Oh, what was your work?
Well, they cut down trees and they built trails and...
You mean the Marines brought mountain people in to work?
Well,
they did all the work.
Well, they did the work, but some of the local work was done by, I don't know really now who did hire the people.
Mm-hmm.
But all the lumber that was hauled in there was hauled on the old army trucks, you know, and I've had to haul all the lumber that they built over there, help these guys. And these Marines, they had 12 big old army trucks and a wrecker. And some of these guys, you know, it was a narrow road from down into Kriegersville where it turns off to go up Hoover's camp down there. And they'd be in the night sometimes, and they had these old lanterns that I believe they called it a carbide light. Mm-hmm. And when that's all the lights they had on the trucks.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, you couldn't see much either.
So did you see Mr. Hoover or Mrs. Hoover?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw him, I reckon, several times.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to talk with
him? Yeah.
Were they pretty nice people?
Yeah, real nice.
Mm-hmm. And did you know the teachers over at school?
Yeah, I knew Miss Best. She was the first teacher that taught there. She's the only one that I knew.
Mm-hmm. Did she have a lot of things going on? Well, which cave children went over there? She mentioned, I guess Jesse was too small then, wasn't he, to go way over, or did he go over?
I don't know whether Jesse did or not. Maybe Jesse was too small. But Myrtle and my other brother up at Elkton, Reuben, they went.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I guess they was the only two that went.
She said two.
Uh-huh.
That's why I asked. So it'd be Myrtle and Reuben, your brother and sister. And they came the furthest, and she must have had quite a school over there.
Yeah.
She must have enjoyed that. And did sometimes the adults go over and
oh yeah. Yeah, they would.
They had cooking and sewing and things like that for the women. That must have been very interesting. So let me ask you, ways back you were talking about trapping. Did you ever see any deer up there back then?
No. There were no deer then.
Mm-hmm. What about bears? Any bears at all?
No bears. I never did see a bear. Now, I've heard my grandfather talk about there was wolf and bear in there one time, way back under 100 years ago or
right.
more. But in my time, I never did see any deer or bear in there.
And but there were bobcats.
Oh yeah, there was plenty of bobcats. There's plenty of bobcats up there. Yeah,
they've stopped
the sale on bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
My son called Mr. Robinson the other day, and he sent him a list of about that thick, or somebody did. He referred him to somebody else, and then they sent him this all this information about the bobcats that he. Why they thought they was ought to be stopped, that they was getting scarce or something. They may be scarce some places, but they're not scarce up in this mountain, because you can go up through there in the snow and you can't track one for the other. And clear down to where we live, they come down. They come down there.
What about cougars?
No, I never saw a cougar.
Mm-hmm. But there were plenty of snakes, lots of rattlesnakes.
Plenty of snakes.
Did people worry about snakes?
No, I don't think so. I never did.
Mm-hmm.
I've come out here getting bit with one time. He almost bit right in the face with a rattlesnake. You know, we used to hunt bee trees and get honey out of them. The wild bees, and the way we did it, we'd get a bee off in a flower that was sucking, and we'd get a little honey and have a little honey and get him to come into that honey, and then there would more bees come. When he left, in a little bit, they'd be another or two or three, or and then the longer you left it, the more would come.
Right.
And then we'd move it closer and keep watching them. And I was going up over a cliff, back at this side of where old Mr. John Weekly lived then,
mm-hmm.
with a staff in my hand, with a bee under a can, a holding like that, and I was climbing up this cliff. And I heard something make a little noise, and I looked, and it was a rattlesnake with his tongue stuck out just about that far from my face. And I just dropped everything and rolled back down that cliff.
That's pretty close. He hadn't rattled at all.
Never did rattle. Never did rattle. He never did try to bite me or anything. He just stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back up and killed him. I looked like or not to bother him after he didn't bother me.
Anything else particularly you remember? Any good stories about things that happened in there, or people that lived in there?
Well, nothing much that I know of. Only we used to have to walk a long ways after it got so that there wasn't no chestnuts, and the timber was about all gone. You couldn't do peel no bark. I never did peel no bark to amount to anything. I know some of the older people peel bark, you know, but I never did peel no bark. But very little. And me and Roy Woodward, that boy that I was telling you about that married my wife's sister, we used to walk from Dark Holler down into Meadows Holler above Crickersville, above Siri.
Uh-huh.
We walked down there and worked for old man Will Meadows, and walked back that evening. We'd work 10 hours and we didn't mind it. We just walked about 20 miles a day and worked 10 hours.
That's unbelievable. You must have run or something.
Didn't run part of the way. Most of the time I run from just about, all the way down when it was downhill, and a lot of times uphill. I was used to it then. I didn't care. I look at some of these boys now jogging along the road, and I just wonder then how I stood it, that way to run like I did. I've been down there to preaching already in what they call Richard Holler, and there was nobody with me, and it was 5 miles from there to Dark Holler.
Yeah.
And I've run all the way up that mountain that night.
Oh, my goodness.
I was almost exhausted when I got home, but I was scared. I was scared to go up there by myself, so I just let out running. Run so fast, you wouldn't run too fast, but just keep running all the time.
How about that? All the way up to Gordonsville Turnpike.
Yeah.
Did many people travel across that road while you were living there?
Well, right many people. There's right many people crossed there with wagons and spring wagons and what they call surreys and so forth and so on, you know.
Are they going over to trade there?
Yeah, they'd go over to Surrey and over to Madison. And
Did you ever put people up for traveling?
Oh yeah. My grandfather and grandmother used to put up a lot of people that come through there. Well, we have too, my father. I never did. Well, yes, I did too, because, some younger people would come in there and they would stay all night or stay a day or so. Some old people would come through there and they'd be to Stanley or something other and they'd be tired when they got up there and they'd stayed all night.
Yeah, so I guess that made Dark Hollow different from any of the other hollows, because you'd always be up on all the news and know what was happening with so many people coming through.
That's right.
And maybe the people were having traveled around and met so many people traveled around, maybe it was easier for them to settle outside. Some people, I guess, had a hard time having people that lived in some of those hollows, you know, where nobody ever came.
That's right. That's right.
There are all kinds of people up in the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
We used to, in some of the programs you could do up at the park, you know, and people would say, oh, the mountain people are all such and such, but it seems to me all kinds of people, all levels of education.
Yeah, there was a lot of people wrote a lot of stuff that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read Hollow Folk?
Yeah.
It didn't seem to me that was too accurate.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't half it was in that true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there were a lot of good people living up in the mountains.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it pretty much living up there?
Oh, yeah. While I was there, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I guess that's all that I can tell you.
Well, Mr. Cave, I have to tell you, you know, I've listened to a lot of these interviews, and I've done several of them. This has been the most interesting one for me. It really has. You just remember so much. It's so interesting. Let me go ahead and turn this.